Well, we're looking at the prophet Ezekiel today, and particularly on page 614, probably the most well-known passage from Ezekiel is his chapter on dry bones, where that Negro spiritual, dem bones, dry bones, is the basis for that song here. And it's a wonderful passage on hope. And so we'll read through verse 14 on that. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you out up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I am the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." So today we take a look at the prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel prophesied, his ministry began between the first and second exile. And back in history, 597 BC, the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom of Judah. But they didn't take the capital city, Jerusalem. They negotiated a treaty, if you will, and so the king and many of the leaders were taken into exile, but the city was spared. And so the people began to say, "God's going to deliver us. You know, God's not going to let his temple be destroyed. You know, we've suffered enough. God is going to deliver us." And Ezekiel comes right after that exile, and he says, "There's more bad news. You know, God's not only going to have our country taken over, but Jerusalem's going to fall, the temple's going to be destroyed, and people are going to be taken into exile for a long time." And so we kind of jumped ahead to the hope part later on, but that's not what his first message was. Ezekiel was, like so many of the prophets, a message of punishment for the people. They were going to go into exile. And as with so many of the prophets, they proclaimed their message through symbolic actions. And that is the case with Ezekiel. So the first thing God told Ezekiel to do was get a brick, build a model of Jerusalem, and then build siege works around the city as if the city was under siege. And, you know, I couldn't help but think of Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future. You know, it's not exactly to scale, but I've got, and he'd build these, you know, well, how big it was, we don't know. But he built a model, and he built siege works. And then, as in the picture, he was told, take an iron piece of iron and place it between yourself and the model. And it's God's way of saying, you're my prophet, you represent me, and there's a wall between us. There is a wall between God and Jerusalem. And the nation is going to, the city is going to be under siege and is going to fall. And we know that indeed it did fall later, but that was the first thing he did. And then he was told, I want you to go out in the public place and lie down on your side for 390 days. Imagine every day for 390 days, you went out, especially on hot days like today, you went out into the public square, and literally was tied down with ropes, so he was fastened on his side, and he stayed there all day long. And he says, this God's word is, the northern kingdom of Israel is going to suffer for 390 years. Now, by this time, they'd already been suffering for a number of years. For several hundred years, they were no longer in existence. The Assyrians had conquered them long before. And so they're going to suffer for a long time. So after he finished his 390 days, God said, now get on your other side. 40 more days for Judah that you're going to suffer, because they're going to suffer 40 more years of punishment. And so it was that they were in exile and they suffered. And so that was how he acted it out in the public arena, literally lying down and being a scene there for people to walk by. Now, the third thing God told him to do was make Ezekiel bread. How many of you have bought Ezekiel bread from the grocery store? You haven't bought the original Ezekiel bread, because the original Ezekiel bread was made by cooking it over human dung. Ew. You don't want the original Ezekiel bread. No. Now, why would he have him do that? Well, the reason for that is it's unclean. It's not only hygienically unclean, but it's against the written law of the Israelites. And so he's saying, when you eat your bread, you're going to be eating it in a foreign country, in an unclean place. And so by making the bread unclean, he's telling the people, when you eat your bread, it's not going to be here in Israel. It's not where it can be made kosher. You're going to be eating it in exile. And so that was also part of his message as he spoke to the people. We sometimes forget how traumatic this message of not only Ezekiel, but Jeremiah and Isaiah, that the temple was going to be destroyed. You know, we live with the understanding the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we're at. You know, God isn't just in our sanctuary. He's wherever we pray. But for the people of Israel, God was there in the temple. You go into the Holy of Holies, that's where God's Spirit rested. He resided there. And to have the temple destroyed is like killing God. It was like, if the temple's destroyed, is there a God? Because if that's his house and it's destroyed, maybe he isn't God. And so it was just, no, that cannot happen. It was inconceivable. And that's why the people early on, even after they were taken over by the Babylonians, no, God will never allow Jerusalem to fall and the temple, because that's where he lives. And so when the temple was destroyed, just, you talk about hopeless. Is there even a God? His temple's been destroyed. But the prophets did say, God's Spirit will go with you. And for Ezekiel, later on, the last chapter of Ezekiel is about the promise, not only are you going to return to Israel, but the temple will be rebuilt and God will take up residence in it once again. But at the time, that thought of the temple being destroyed was just God being destroyed. And that was Ezekiel's tough message. You haven't been faithful, particularly in temple worship. Now, Amos and many of the other prophets focused on care for the poor and in compassion and justice. Ezekiel was more, you really haven't been faithful in your temple worship, following the worship of your God. For that reason, along with the other reasons, was the punishment of God. Well, then we get to the dry bones, and it's later. So we know that Ezekiel prophesied all these things. They happened. Ezekiel was then, along with the other people, taken into exile. He went into Babylon, and now he gives him Chapter 37. And now he says, now that all this has taken place, you know, God is going to restore hope for us. And that's the beauty of this dry bones text. And, you know, it's just hard to imagine how awful it was, you know, to be in a foreign country thinking, is my God even alive anymore? Imagine if somehow you were kidnapped and taken to Iran. And you had to live in Iran, and you hear the Muslim prayers going up. You know, all the food is a different food. The customs are different. The language, you're alone speaking English there. It would be awful. And will I ever get back home? Kidnapped and held in a room somewhere. And that's what it was like for the people of Israel in Babylon. Will we ever get back once again? And so they existed with little hope. You know, we need to realize we don't have to be taken into exile to go through the valleys. As I said, sometimes with kids, you don't make a team, you don't get your school. But I think sometimes, you know, we go through grief. Grief is like a valley of dry bones. You know, whether it's a child or a spouse, or even our parents, it's that loss of what is dear to us. And all of a sudden, it can feel just disorienting. The person that was always there for you, your support isn't there, and it's hopelessness. And so sometimes we go through dry bones when we grieve. Or I can't help but think when we had the recession recently, anytime somebody lost a job, that was like, man, there just aren't any jobs out there. And I know for a number of people in our congregation who searched for months and months and months trying to find a job and nothing was there, and hopelessness. You know, there is nothing worse than keep on putting out your resumes, keep on calling on people, and no, 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 no. If you're lucky enough to even get a no, half the time you're just ignored. You don't even know if they got what you sent. And hopelessness, will I ever get a job again? And we go through that depression, that valley of the dry bones. Or sometimes it's abandonment, you know, whether it's so many kids who've been adopted, even though they've had loving adoptive parents, feel abandoned by a birth mother. Or sometimes in a divorce, one of the parents just disappears, and that desire to always have wanted that person back in your life. Or sometimes you had a parent that just never loved you the way you should have been loved, and it's that feeling of loss that I've never been loved as I want. And when you get into that place, it's just a dry bones. It's that sense of hopelessness. And so even though we haven't been taken into exile like the people were, most of us have gone through that valley of dry bones at somewhere along the lines. Most of us can access those feelings when we just felt like God was a million miles away. Will he be there for us again? And what Ezekiel says is God never abandons us. We may go through the valley. You know, that's why the 23rd Psalm has always been such a favorite psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Doesn't say I'm not going to go through the valley. It doesn't say there won't be valleys of dry bones, but God will walk through them with us. And that's the hope. And the other hope is that God then will restore us out of those valleys. And that's what he did with Israel. Yes, it was 70 years. But he made good on his promise. He brought them back out of exile, back into Israel. And I love, I'm going to read that passage again, because I just love when that whole image of all the dry bones taken on life. Again, he says, "So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath. And then God said to me, 'Prophesy to the breaths, prophesy, mortal, say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these skins, these slain, that they may live.' And I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." Wow. If you're in a dry place, to hear an image like that and say, yes, God doesn't abandon us. And we know from history, God made good on his promise. Just as he made good on the punishment, he made good on the restoration. The people came out of exile. The temple was rebuilt. And so God restored the people to life. And so he does the same thing with us. We don't stay in our valleys. God continues to restore us through the valleys of our lives as well. You know, when I was thinking about having prophecy for something that's still out there, you know, it made me think, comparing, imagine that if you were unemployed and God said to you, 3 months from today, November 16th, I'm going to give you the job of your dreams. But you're not going to get it. It's not going to be offered for 3 months. Now, how would you feel the next 3 months? Hopeful. Even though you still didn't have a job, even though you had too much extra time on your hands, even though you may be applying to places that were rejecting you, God had promised you that, you would live with that sense of hope. And that's kind of what happened with Ezekiel. You're still in exile. It may be several years before, but I promise you, God says, I'll deliver you back. And when God makes a promise, God keeps his promise. And of course, we can't read this text, even though it was fulfilled back in 539 when they went back into Jerusalem out of exile. As with so many of the prophecies, it is fulfilled a second time, because we see the resurrection of the dead. And although that's not the original application of this, when we see dry bones being brought to life and breath being breathed back into them, we think of 1 Corinthians 15, you know, when this mortal body must take on immortality and this perishable body must take on the imperishability. And when the mortal body takes on immortality and the perishable takes on the imperishable, then shall come to saying the past that is written, come to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Oh, the victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we go through our valleys, we hold on to God's word just as the people did in exile, that God will deliver us out of the valleys of life and eventually to live with him in his house forever. And so now as we go through valleys, we remember those words of Paul. You know, the sufferings of this world don't compare to the glory yet to be revealed. Because God has made us a promise. We will be raised from the dead. And whatever sickness we have known will be gone. Whatever sins have burdened us will be gone. Whatever feelings of abandonment or whatever depression we have known will be gone. And we will be raised immortal and imperishable. So take hope. God will lead you out of the valley, because God has made a promise, and God makes good on his promises. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, there are different people going through different valleys, even here and now. Some in this sanctuary are on mountaintops feeling good. Some are grieving. Some are struggling. Lord God, make your presence known in this sanctuary. And as you brought words of hope through Ezekiel, bring us words of hope through Jesus, that you are with us always to the end of the age, and you have prepared a place for us where we will be with you for eternity. May that hope live in our hearts today and the rest of our lives. Amen.